Blog Talk Radio.
Are listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-host, Steve and Stacy Jade. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to encourage dialogue across ages, genders, sexual orientation, religious backgrounds, and sex. So feel free to join in the discussion. We want to know what you think.
And welcome back to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. So I am glad that you guys have decided to tune in today because today we're going to talk about a topic that I think a lot of us have discussed in our inner circles with people. And so our topic today is how are women impacted by daddy issues? And I'm putting that in quotation, air quotation. So as always, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my co-host. And we have someone sitting in with us today. So, Steve, welcome back this Sunday.
Thank you, Dr. Guys. Good to be here. I'm sure this will be a barn burner.
You know, I think it's going to be a good topic. I'm really looking forward to. We have a guest sitting in with us, and she's going to be sitting in with us for a couple of shows, hopefully. And so I would like to introduce her to you guys. She is another therapist. She's a family therapist, or especially in family therapist, soon to be Dr. Fatima. Welcome to the show as our guest today.
Hello, hello. I'm excited.
I am glad you are joining us. So I think this is a topic that is really right up your alley as a family therapist or just another clinician and female, obviously. And so we're going to go ahead and get right into our topic today. I do want to let all of our listeners that are listening online know that if you want to join in the conversation, please feel free to do so. The call-in number is 914-205-5902. And if you have a comment or a question, just press 1 and we will gladly add you to our discussion. So, the first thing that I thought about when we were talking about this show topic, I told Steve that I wanted to do a show called The Sins of the Father. And Steve likes to do research, even though he doesn't like to tell people, but he's quite nerdy in that area. And so Steve went and did some digging, some research as it relates to the sins of the father, and see if you want to talk about what you came up with as it relates to that.
Well, basically, you know, from what I looked at, it seems that that is a biblical term, originated in the Old Testament. But because the system that was in use was more of a patriarchal system, it was more of a reference of mistakes of your ancestors or your parents. So it wasn't something that was exclusive to male or patriarchy. It was more just a general reference during that time because, you know, we hadn't had a lot of cultures, at least in the Bible, that were more matriarchal. So, you know, since at that point everything followed the father's line, it was termed the sins of the father.
Mm-hmm. And so ideally it's just pretty much talking about the inequalities or the things that have been passed down from one generation to the next, but they're saying that it's a derivative of the dad in these particular instances. And so we're truth be told, the reality is that every living, breathing person has some type of daddy issue. And so when we talk about this term daddy issue, that I think I've been hearing more people talk about it, whether it's on talk shows or in books, and how it impacts women in particular. And so this is going to be our part one of the sins of the father, daddy issues, and we're also going to do, we're going to talk about specifically women, and then part two is we're going to talk about the sins of the fathers and daddy issues and how it impacts adult men in their lives. So Fatima, I want you to chime in and just tell us what your thoughts are about the whole title of just daddy issues in general. What comes to mind for you as someone who has training as a family therapist?
Well, what immediately comes to mind for me is the direct and indirect effects of the relationship between girls, adolescents, and adult women with their fathers. So what that looks like across the lifespan of women, mm-hmm. but then particularly what we see in adult women in the ways in which they engage in intimate relationships, their views of themselves, how it impacts self-esteem, and just even choices that they make, certain behaviors. So the relationship between fathers and daughters is a very important relationship, and we can see how, depending on what that relationship looks like, we can see very concrete outcomes in adult mm-hmm. women's lives.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned that because oftentimes when I'm working with clients, adult women, obviously what brings them into therapy is something typically that they're dealing with in the present. But once we start talking and meeting a couple of weeks, I realize that this isn't just present day concerns and that a lot of the issues that they're struggling with are really derivatives of their early relationships with caregivers or lack of relationships with caregivers.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes they will want to dismiss that. And they're like, oh, no, that has nothing to do with it. They're like, you know, I'm in my 30s, I'm in my 40s, I'm in my 50s. And my response is, yes, but you're still carrying this baggage or these unresolved issues from your early childhood. And when we begin to do the work, it's amazing how they are able to now see these connections and how those early relationships with a father, step parent, step father, or lack of a father has really impacted their careers. It's impacted their romantic relationships. It's impacted their platonic relationships with men. Overall, we notice that, yeah, there's this thing, now that we look at it, that you have been responding to people a certain way based on, again, that either relationship you did not have with that father or the relationship you did have with your father. So today that's what we're going to talk about, because I think a lot of women now are aware that they might have daddy issues, but they don't know what to do with them. So, Steve, I want you to go ahead and jump in there, because you tell me this all the time, that you have obviously dated more women than I have, and since my response is I've dated zero women, I defer to you. So yeah. What are your thoughts on this topic, daddy issues, as it relates to women?
Well, when dating a woman that you're at least serious about, you want to have those conversations so you'll know what triggers are there, or if it's worse than a trigger, it may be a minefield. So you want to know, how their relationship was, what it looked like, was there one or whether it wasn't. A lot of little nuances that, you need to get into. Was there some abuse of some type, whether it was, emotional, physical? Was their mother abused? Because it, like you said, it pretty much, shapes them, because women are very malleable in general, but young women are extremely malleable. So you really want to be conscious of that, because it kind of determines how the relationship develops.
Mm-hmm. So you said that that's something that men should ask women, like about their experiences with their parents?
It's something I ask, but I don't ask it directly. It's more the open-ended questions, sisters, brothers, funny stories growing up, with your parents, and then, I guess it's kind of slick, but generally people will just kind of blab. It's kind of like being on an interview when they ask you to tell you about yourself, but they're really not supposed to ask you to tell you about yourself. They really can't ask you how old you are, but, they'll say, well, what high school do you went to? And you say, well, I graduated in 47. Okay, well, I know how old. So it's some of the same thing.
Okay. All righty. So obviously it is important to know some of that background information about a woman if you're potentially going to date her. So what happens when, and Fatima, feel free to chime in with your thoughts on this one. What happens to the type of woman who you may encounter who says, my mom and dad were, separated when I was young, and so he really was in and out, really wasn't consistent. And so that's pretty much all I have to say. Like, he was supposed to show up for the weekend. Some weekends he didn't, some weekends he didn't, he didn't other weekends. And so for her, there's this pattern of inconsistency. And now as an adult, she reports that she struggles maybe with commitment in her relationship.
Well, definitely.
I didn't catch that last part. She reports that she struggles with what?
Sure. So she talks about, her dad being inconsistent, parents being separated when she was very young. And what she really remembers is, some weekends he would show up for visitation, other weekends he wouldn't. And so after a while, for her, she just remembers just an inconsistent father. And so now as an adult woman and her dating, she reports that she struggles with being in committed relationships.
I guess I'll let Steve respond first as the guy who dates women.
Well, it's kind of funny because I want to tell you that's real simple. She will expect you to be inconsistent, but subconsciously she will be inconsistent. She'll be mentally available sometimes, not mentally available sometimes, physically available sometimes, not physically available sometimes. So she will show the same inconsistency, but she may not necessarily be conscious of it, while having an expectation of you maintaining a consistent presence in her life. And when that does not happen, she will be upset, and that manifests in several different forms, depending on her personality.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Fatima, what about you? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have several thoughts on this. I think it's probably tough in a new relationship, because the last thing that you're probably interested in doing is a certain amount of work, because it's new and you may feel like this is a lot for a new relationship. But I think maybe what a lot of men miss, because they immediately just like take away the, oh, she's got daddy issues and she's probably going to be inconsistent, or she's probably going to do X, Y, and Z. Like, there are these preconceived thoughts about what she may or may not do. But I would like to see maybe more men say something like, you know, have you ever considered talking to a counselor about that? Or asking more about, like, you know, what more details about, like, what that has looked like in past relationships. And maybe talking about and discussing some ways where, if you are going to proceed forward, what things could you or might you do that might help improve some of these fears that she has, or put certain things, or help her put certain things at ease. Now, that might be a tall order, again, to ask someone early on in a relationship. But I think if we're being honest, as we said early on, a lot of us come to relationships with a certain amount of baggage, whether we want to own it or not, and be it daddy issues, mommy issues, and that's male and female. So I think that especially as adults, and when you are an adult dating at a certain age, I think you need to come to it with a mindset of being prepared to do a certain amount of work.
You know, I'm glad that you...
Can I interject there real quick? I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
While I agree with you wholeheartedly, and this is the analogy I want to give you, there are a lot of women that know they're not in shape, but they don't want to work out, and they don't want a personal trainer, and a lot of them will just get surgery because it's a quick fix. So as a guy who dates women exclusively, you know, you have to be careful in those initial stages, because one, it looks like you're, you know, not dating them but analyzing them, and two, you're in essence saying that you're crazy and I need to get you some help. So generally, that's how those things are perceived within that phase where you're supposed to be smitten, you know, before you start, you know, going to Walmart, because I always think going to Walmart together is like a big step in a relationship. You know, before you start doing some of that other stuff and you're out of your smitten phase where you may have a little bit more leeway to make some of these suggestions. So it's the equivalent of telling a woman she's fat and she needs to work out.
And I was just about to say, Tim, I wholeheartedly agree with your comment. But I agree with your comment as the therapist. And I realize that sometimes my interactions with people, I am very biased, because I'm like, oh, so you didn't know that? Oh, you didn't see that? And I'm like, oh, you know what? I forget. Like, I'm a therapist. I talk to therapists all day. And so even though we don't want to acknowledge that this is what we do, we are always analyzing and processing information. And so this is what we're doing with people's lives and our own lives. So that statement that you said, Fatima, was definitely a therapist statement. But I think for the everyday person who's not a therapist, that's a little deep to be able to say, you know what, I see that you're really inconsistent in your dating habits, and I think it might be related to your early childhood relationships with your father. Like, I don't know if men are aware.
I don't expect them to go that deep per se. However, I will say that maybe we ought to raise our expectations for everyday people, because here's the thing. What we also see is a lot of people getting in and out of relationships. So if you're constantly getting in relationships with women who are bringing daddy issues or whatever, and that's a pattern, like, at some point, do you stop and say, well, okay, if I'm constantly running into women that are bringing certain things to the table, maybe instead of saying this is going to be a lot, is there something else that I could do to maybe see if I can sit here a little longer, or if this is something worth exploring? Because maybe on the outset, because here's the thing, he said, she's going to say X, Y, and Z, but really, I already know she's going to end up being inconsistent and she's going to be the one. So you already have these preconceived notions. So then when and if she does do something, you can say, aha, I knew she was going to do that. I knew she was going to be inconsistent. So you're already ready to say, there she goes, another woman with those daddy issues, and get out the door, instead of saying, you know what? I'm not trying to judge you, and I don't want to assume that I understand your situation, but I've had a lot of women friends who've had daddy issues, and some of them have said it helped them go into counseling. I don't think that's too much.
Fatima, I agree with you, but being that we have talked about marketplace value?
Sexual marketplace value.
Sexual market value, sexual market, whatever that is, when women, men increase in their sexual market value, women decrease, or just the sure number that most cities, women are outnumbering men, I just don't think men feel like, why should I have to put in the work with her when there are 9 others that I could probably not have to deal with these particular issues with? So then I think that cycle continues for her because of her inconsistencies. She doesn't meet the guy who is like, oh, I'm going to acknowledge that she has these issues. I'm noticing a pattern. I'm going to recommend counseling. And maybe he does recommend counseling, but we know, even when sometimes our clients come in to therapy, they're still a little resistant and hesitant to really acknowledge what's driving their current behavior. So, I think it's a great idea, but I don't know how many men, just one, have that insight, are noticing the patterns, and are open to say, boo, go get some therapy.
So this is a Steve story I'm going to share. It's a little off kilter. I don't even know if I've told you this one, Dr. Guy, but it's not that bad.
Okay.
It's bad, but it's not that bad. So I was having an interaction with a young lady, and I did something that triggered her, and she called me someone else and, like, had a whole nother conversation with this gentleman while we were intimate. And after the intimacy was over, I went from Johnny back to Steve, and I just never spoke of it. So, I didn't think that I would be like, hey, so while we were intimate, you called me Johnny, for like 10 minutes, and now I'm Steve again. You probably need some counseling. I just was like, okay, well, I won't do the thing I did to trigger her to call me Johnny. So, I think at some point, let me stop lying. After that, I knew I was out, but perhaps in the future, if somebody does whatever her trigger is to have her call people Johnny, I don't know if that's something that, and I consider myself fairly, psychologically astute, I wasn't ready to deal with that because that was.
Right, exactly.
And yeah, that goes to what you were saying about the sexual marketplace value. Like, she was a nice person, had a lot going for her, but, I felt like I could find somebody else that didn't have a trigger that turned me into Johnny.
Well, sure. I mean, of course you don't want to be with somebody who's calling you another man's name while you're having sex. However, and I'm going to say this, and this is probably a topic for another day, but not necessarily about that story, but I feel like in a lot of ways, we give men a pass and let them off the hook with this whole sexual marketplace value thing. I get it. We all know the numbers. We know there are more women than men and the numbers in most major cities. But I don't think that that's necessarily an excuse to be a serial monogamous or to not invest in really putting in a certain amount of work in a relationship. So I feel like that's a cop out.
Oh, I would agree with you. Okay. I don't think that they should get a pass for it, but I'm sure Steve would probably.
I would vehemently disagree, but of course I would.
I figured that was coming. Absolutely.
So
potentially,
you know, I mean, it's just the, you know, men have always dated younger women ever since the Bible. So, I mean, you know, like, I'm not here to say the system is perfect, but that's just what has always been done. You know, it's like going in the woods and expecting not to get bit by mosquitoes. It's just the nature of things.
But, you know what, speaking on the dating, the men dating younger women, I think, as we're talking about the subtitle, daddy issues.
right, definitely. That's where I was going.
Yeah, like, you know, if you're, you know, a couple year difference, you know, two or three, maybe even five, we probably can understand. But when you jump in the pool where there is a, you know, 10 plus 15, 20 year age difference, and this is the type of woman, I mean, this is the type of man that this woman says she always dates, like the guy who was 15 or 20 years older than her, yet she's dating these older men, and yet these relationships are still not working. Like, this is someone who potentially might be struggling with what we're describing, these daddy issues. Like, she's looking for this male figure to really be that provider, protector, potentially maybe what her father wasn't, if he was there. And so in those particular cases, Steve, what would you say about the older man, younger woman?
I would disagree. I just think it's a basic case of women in hypergamy, you know. The men who are more intelligent or have the more resources generally get the best women as we get older. Bodies become relevant, but not as relevant. So, you know, I still think that goes to women's biological imperative of wanting to feel safe and all those things. So what I have found is, at least, you know, the women who are my age, who I've termed the wildebeest, they're not to be tamed. They're just wild. They're rebellious, and they don't want to listen. So what I have found, like I said, there's younger women a little bit more malleable, but the women my age might listen to someone who may be, you know, older. So I think it just speaks to, you know, our biological imperatives and just the nature of humans in general. I don't think it's, you know, there may be some issue of, like we talked about, security and resources, but generally speaking, when you look at relationships, you know, unless you're talking about in the early ages, you know, women look to men for, you know, security and safety. And, you know, when you're young, all you really have is a physical presence. You haven't really developed yourself enough to know what you're doing to have the resources. So as women become more sophisticated and they have the resources, they're looking for someone who has more resources and may be able to teach them. And that's generally not someone their own age. And when it is someone my own age, I don't tend to like to deal with them because they tend to be wildebeest.
But
I'm sorry.
Your thoughts are. Right. I wanted to get your thoughts to weigh in on that topic.
I'm still stuck on wildebeest. And probably
wild,
all of the women who are
gorgeous,
listening that are incredibly
sample you, they
right
will
now.
Put their horns down. Man, it is not a pleasant experience. Like, I always am cautious of women that tell me I can't find a man to handle me, because I don't want to handle a woman. If you need to be handled, then I don't need to bother you anyway. You know, that is a whole nother, you know, you got to be careful with your verbiage, you know, because it sends different clues to men that, you know, I can't find this, or, you know, nobody's man enough for me, those type of things. So, you know, that lets me know that you are, you know, probably wildebeestness.
Past that, but your question about what do I think about the age difference, I think that, so it's actually funny you asked that, because on last week's Real Housewives of Potomac, if anybody watches trashy reality television, Ashley Darby, whose husband might be 20 years her senior, was talking to her therapist, and one of the things that came out was that she sort of sees her husband as a father figure. And, of course, your mm-hmm. husband can't be your, right? So we that's incredibly problematic. Mm-hmm. But she's someone who grew up without her father in her life. She's never had a relationship with him. That's something that really pains her and she really struggles with. So then, you know, as we hear this story about the lack of relationship with her dad, then in some ways it's no surprise she ends up with and married to a man, you know, who could essentially be her dad and who she,
mm-hmm.
as a paternal
yeah,
figure.
And, right. And of course, we're not talking about everyone is not going to fall into this this category, but I definitely think that there are a number of women who unconsciously are dating men who are considerably older than them as this surrogate father figure because, as you said, these men see their maybe they are wiser, maybe they are financially stable, maybe they can be better providers. But what you're describing potentially is what I believe and what I can only say from my own experiences is what fathers do for their daughters. Like they provide for them financially. They take care of them. You know, they're wiser than them. They give them good advice. And so when there is a father there who is a father, who is present, who is a daddy, who is taking care of his child, then you don't seek outside people for that role because it's fulfilled by the person who, you know, who is that biological parent or it could even be a step parent that fills that role. But I do think that we often see correlations of younger women dating these older men because they see them as these surrogate fathers. And unfortunately, those relationships
absolutely
don't work out well either. And so now they're bouncing from one older guy to another older guy, not really understanding it's not the guys that are the issue. It's what you're searching for isn't in that guy.
I think it's also important to add in this, we haven't discussed the psychological outcomes of father-daughter relationships because
mm-hmm.
when young women have good relationships with their fathers when they're growing up, that predicts predict their satisfaction in their spousal relationships later on. It predicts positive self-esteem in women. It predicts their adult adjustment and attachment. So I think in some ways, probably these relationships with older men might also be an unconscious way to sort of
Fatima. Steve, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Did we lose Fatima?
Yes, I'm still here.
Have lost. Okay, I think we may have lost Fatima. Hopefully we can get her back. Fatima?
Okay. Can you hear?
Okay, now we can hear you.
So I was saying they may be unconsciously trying to fulfill that psychological need that wasn't met.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard all the other stuff that I said.
Yeah, absolutely. In total agreement that the relationship with your father is going to help you develop a sense of self-worth and identity and also helps you model what relationships look like, whether that father or parent lives with you or whether there's weekend visitations or not, you still learn how to interact in adult relationships by modeling the first relationship that you see. And so I think it's important for parents, whether they are co-parenting their kids together or they're living in the same household, that mothers are very mindful about how their husbands, boyfriends, or whoever are treating them because young girls obviously see this behavior. And again, this is what they emulate. So daughters want to be their mothers. So as adult women now, they're emulating the behaviors that they saw. So unconsciously or consciously, women don't seek out alcoholic mates because their father was an alcoholic. But we know statistically that women who are raised with an alcoholic father also end up marrying alcoholic men. And so nothing
right.
in the brain makes sense to say, I was raised in an alcoholic household, and it was a nightmare. But now I'm going to go out and purposely seek the same person. And so we know that there is some of those things that psychologically impact now their dating patterns. And so what has now become their social norm as a child to see this mother interaction with a alcoholic father is now their social norm as an adult. So even if they come across a guy who is a non-drinker, is, you know, a really good dude and they could probably have a healthy relationship with, that doesn't fit their social norm. So now they unconsciously seek out this guy who looks just like their alcoholic father, and unfortunately it leads to an unhealthy relationship. So I definitely think that the role of the father impacts young women psychologically in ways that they don't even think about until after, you know, most cases they've gone into therapy. But by then they've repeated that cycle 3 or 4 times, and it's done so much damage that now they have to go back and heal the process of their early childhood experiences and now begin to heal the damage that has happened in their adult lives. And so I think those are the things that we kind of want. I know as clinicians, we want women to be mindful of that you don't have to be consciously seeking out certain behaviors, but if you begin to notice a pattern in your life and you believe that it's the other people, the only common denominator in your life is typically you. And that's when it's important to say, I probably need to go do some work. It's me. It's not everybody else. And maybe in some cases it is everybody else, because obviously there are some exceptions to the rule. But in those other cases, people might, women in particular, might need to be open to, as you said, Fatima, going to therapy and doing work. But we know that there's still the stigma attached to going to therapy. So in the event that women are dealing with daddy issues, what should we be telling these women? And, you know, how do they address this if therapy is not going to be an option? And this is for you, Fatima, or Steve.
Well, I'll jump in there first. Since I am the one practicing the dating of women, I don't know. I just tend to leave. I just have to be honest with you. Like, I'm just not prepared for a lot of those issues. Like, there's been times I've come across things that this is just over my head. Like, I don't know. You know, I could give you some examples. You know, like when I was in college, I dated a young lady who's, you know, come to find out her parents were in somewhat of an abusive relationship. And, you know, she created scenarios to enrage me because I think she wanted to recreate that abuse because in her mind, that's what love was. So, you know, you know, I have another friend who was telling me about, you know, one of her sorors, which I won't tell you what sorority it is. But she was saying she's having trouble finding a guy because, you know, she thinks that men that take naps are lazy because her father never took a nap and he, you know, worked constantly. So, you know, she's fine with the guy until she realizes that he's taking too many naps and then she doesn't like him anymore. So for those things, you know, I don't know. You know, that would be something I would defer to the wonderful ladies on the panel who have gone and studied these topics and gotten the education that is above my pay grade.
I would say,
as a dater of men, I'm going to try and take off my therapist hat. So, you know, someone who's dated a lot of douchebag men, I think that if we're going to step away from talking about, you know, like going to therapy, I think this is maybe a time when it's good for a good friend, a good girlfriend. If you see, you know, your girl repeating a lot of patterns, to say, you know, because I will say that as someone who does this work, you know, it took a good friend to say, you might need to stop and like just kind of take an account and maybe look at certain patterns of the men that you get involved with. I'm someone who does this work and has studied attachment, but it wasn't until like a conversation with a girlfriend that I realized like, oh, I keep attracting men who have a certain attachment style. Now, the average person isn't maybe going to look at it that deep, but it may be having the good friend to plant that seed and recommend, you know, just kind of stopping and taking a moment just to like take an account of your, you know, your personal life, your dating life, your family life, and see if that kind of helps to bring some things into focus and clear some things up, or maybe help her to realize certain patterns. And then, you know, where she goes from there, I mean, hopefully maybe it might be counseling, or maybe it could just be like sister circles and talking with friends and talking stuff out. But I think sometimes we can't see it ourselves. And so I brought myself up to say, like, as someone who does this work, I couldn't see it myself. So it had to take, you know, a good friend to kind of help me step back and realize that. And so then I could start to do the work.
Absolutely. And I'm going to piggyback off of something that Steve said. But if you guys are just joining us, our topic today is how are women impacted by daddy issues? And if you want to join the conversation, or if you have a comment or a question, our call-in number is 914-205-5902, and you just need to press 1. So, Steve, one of the things that you mentioned, those examples that you provided, I'm not a big fan of Freud if we were looking at it from a psychological perspective, but Freud talks about something called repetition compulsion, and that's exactly what you described. It's where the individual is really compelled to repeat what he or she saw in their childhood. So the young lady who said, you know, she didn't see her dad take naps, and so as a result of that, if a man took a nap, she just felt like he was lazy, and so that was that repetition compulsion. This is kind of what I've seen growing up as a child, and so this is what I'm modeling my behaviors after. And so I know we've spent a great length talking about daddy issues in the negative, but what about, and Steve, you will be able to speak to this one more so than Fatima and I, because we don't date women. But as someone who dates women, what about when women have good fathers in their lives, right? And these are men who did everything that we ideally believe a father should do. So obviously, you know, I have to be the devil's advocate and give you the flip side of this, because you and I have these conversations about parenting and father roles. And definitely, sometimes you tell me that I am biased because of my own personal experience. And so, what happens when you get fathers who, you know, are just awesome dads, and they have developed these relationships with their children that embody what we believe it should look like? They're financial providers, they're emotional providers, they protect them, they teach their daughters, you know, what dating should look like. They teach their daughters that they are loved and empowered, and it helps build their self-esteem and self-worth. And so when you get these type of women, because maybe they have daddy issues, i.e. maybe I have had some daddy issues along the way resulting from something similar to what I just described, does that impact their dating, that they have their fathers on this pedestal of greatness, and so the expectation is that men are supposed to treat me the way my father treated me, which was with this level of respect and support and, you know, all these things that we talk about daddy should do. So how does that impact women? Because, as you have said, those are daddy issues too.
Well, if we were in court, we would definitely say you were leading the witness with your opening statement. So you're making it very difficult for me to actually speak in the manner that I would like, but I will attempt. You know, there is a fine line between being a good father and a bad father. There's another line between being too good a father and a good father. So what tends to happen at a certain point is the father needs to step back in order for the woman to be able to have attachments to other men. But some men are not able to do that. Therefore, it creates a problem with their daughters forming healthy relationships with men in general. I have some friends now, you know, and, you know, we said I'm a 40-year-old millennial, that their daddy still cut their grass. You know, there's a lot of stuff their fathers still do for them. So now what happens is there is a – what's that?
There's nothing wrong with fathers who do things for their adult daughters.
To a degree, it is. So when there's a lack of degree of independence from the daughter and the father, when there's a gentleman introduced in the situation, it becomes very difficult for them to maintain a relationship with the new gentleman because they're never going to create enough space for him to occupy the role that the father has perpetually occupied all their life.
I disagree, but I'll ask Fatima, what are her thoughts on that? Did we lose Fatima? Maybe she can. Fatima, are you still there? Oh, we may have some challenges. Not sure if she's still there with us. But, of course, Steve, I am in total disagreement that, let's see if we can get Fatima back on. Hold on a minute.
Hello?
Fatima, are you there? Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. You may have missed our last comment from Steve, and I was asking you to respond to it. Were you able to hear it, or were you dropped off before then?
I think I heard the highlights where he was saying that the dad needs to step back sometimes and allow her to form attachments with other men.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. Like, are these enmeshed father-daughter relationships are good for no one. At a certain point, there should be a natural transition where the father starts to take a step back and allow her to, you know, go out, and if that desire is to meet and form relationships and attachments with men, let that happen, and those men should take the primary role in her life. I think that sometimes maybe women can do themselves a disservice by, I don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong with having certain expectations that, you know, maybe your dad instilled in you, but I think that they need to be careful with how they relate that, because I think that sometimes that can turn men off.
Oh, that's a good statement.
Thank you.
Steve, no, on this particular topic, Fatima, I'm completely biased. I'm a daddy's girl. So I have to put my objective hat back on and be the therapist, because the daddy girl in me is the one who has daddy issues because she's a daddy's girl. But I do agree with that when it's too enmeshed that there needs to be some clear boundary lines, because it could interfere and prevent her from being able to establish a healthy relationship with someone outside of that. So I definitely agree with that. We have a comment from one of our listeners, and he says, the boyfriend will always be compared to the father, and the only time the father should step back is when the relationship becomes engaged or married. Well, thank you very much for that comment. You guys, what do you think about what our listener just stated?
In general, I agree with that. I mean, until the guy has like a real solid role in her life, then of course the father should have still a certain occupy a certain level in her life. But I think I think you have to be careful with that. And if we were looking at this in the reverse, if we were looking at this as women who date men that feel like their mothers are incredibly involved in their lives and overstepping and way too involved, we would feel like mom needs to step back, whether he's my boyfriend, my fiance, or my husband. So I think I think that we have to be fair in that and say the same thing for women in their relationships with their dad. So I'm not saying that dad needs to be completely cut out of the picture, but I think that in some ways he needs to, if she's not necessarily going and asking for some specific advice on something, I don't think that dad should overstep by getting so involved or like just being like a primary person in the relationship, because then, you know, you have a three-party situation.
Mm-hmm. It definitely sounds like we all agree with the leave and cleave, if we were taking it to scripture, that both a man and a woman should be able to, at some point, if they're in a relationship, leave their parental, maternal, and to cleave to their new relationships with their spouses. That definitely is ideal. I think what we unfortunately see sometimes is because of the daddy issues, that relationship doesn't have an opportunity to flourish and move in that direction, whether it's the daddy issues because the dad is enmeshed and overly involved in his daughter's life, or because dad was absent completely from his daughter's life, and as a result, now this young woman has an inability to trust any male in her life. So I definitely think that we see it from both perspectives. And Fatima, you're correct. Women are not happy with mama's voice. So I can see why that would be an issue if we're talking about women with daddy issues in that same case. Steve, any thoughts?
Well, I definitely concur. But I think it depends on when we talk about the interaction with the father and the daughter. A lot of times for men, it really boils down to the resources again and who you're listening to. So, you know, in a relationship, if I'm dealing with a young lady and we have come to a conclusion on some decision, and then she changes her mind because she's talked to her daddy, then I'm really not in a relationship with her. I'm just kind of hanging out with her and she's in a relationship with her daddy, you know. Or, you know, if we talk about just the resource aspect, you know, that is something else about who's going to have the most influence is who's contributing. So, you know, those are the lines that I'm more cognizant of when I talk to my male friends about those relationships with, you know, fathers and their role. So I guess that's what I'm saying. At a certain point, there should be some financial autonomy as well as decision-making autonomy. There's nothing wrong with conferring, but when that influence is, you know, pretty much there constantly, then that's when the problem is at its highest.
Mm-hmm. I'm still processing that one, Steve. So,
I absolutely agree.
You said you agree, Fatima?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that women have to be careful if we're specifically talking about like the interference of a father and her relationship with a romantic partner, of not cutting off your partner's feet. You know, because if essentially if you're going to be discussing important issues, everything you need to run by your dad, or the decisions you make are based on the input of your father, well, then who are you in a relationship with?
That's a good point. That is a good point. I think that that those relationships and ties begin to sever the stronger the relationship becomes with the woman and her partner at that particular time. it allows her to feel more safe and secure in that relationship. So as long as her mate can provide that same sense of security and protection that her father has, then I think that transition happens easily, more easily than not. And if she doesn't feel that, then that transition will never happen.
Well, I think that still goes back to dating older guys. So at 23, you can't expect a guy you're dating while you're 23 to have the same wisdom and financial resources as your father. So
Absolutely. Generally,
that's why women will date men who are older, because if we're talking about women want security and wisdom, then that generally doesn't come with someone your old age in a male. So it still feeds to the same topic of why women date older men.
But I think, again, I think that's what we were talking about, the daddy issues. Like, if you don't have a father who provides you that, then you look for that in your mate. But if you have that in your father, I'm not looking to find that in my mate. Like, I can go to my father and get what I'm looking from in my from him, that wisdom piece. And maybe even if it's financial support if I need it. But I need something different in a partner if I'm already getting my parents.
But what I'm saying is, as a male partner, I don't want you getting that from your father. That's something we should do. So since you're getting it from somewhere else, you're really not in a relationship with me. Well, you're in a physical relationship with me, but a mental relationship with your father.
I think, I'll put another angle on that too, because I would say for the woman who has had her father in her life, well, if that relationship was great and solid, then it should have instilled a certain amount of autonomy in her, where she doesn't feel like at this point in her adult life, she has to continue going back to check in with dad and clear things up and get dad's approval. So she should be able, and she should be at a place where she can have these discussions and make these discussions with the person she's in a relationship with. I don't think there's anything wrong with the occasional checking in with or cluing dad in on certain things, but primarily that stuff should be reserved to the person she's in a relationship with. So my pushback would be perhaps that relationship with dad, maybe it lacks some things if she feels that she has to continue to go back there for that wisdom and that input. And do you see what I'm saying?
And Fatima, I agree with that there should be a sense of autonomy that she has developed over the years if she had the support that she needed from her dad. But maybe my perception is wrong, but when I'm having these conversations with Steve, I perceive that Steve believes that the relationship just needs to be severed, like kick dad to the curb, and now you're in this relationship, and so your dad's 2 cents is irrelevant, and I mean his 2 cents comments and his financial sense as well. So
I'm not saying that, but women are women. And what tends to happen, and I don't know if this is a conscious thing or not, but women tend to play the boyfriend and the dad off each other. Oh, you're not going to do that? Don't worry about it. My dad will do it.
I don't know who you're dating. I mean, I really? I can't even get the words together.
It's not a Steve thing. I'm just speaking for the experiences that I have heard within my circle.
Okay, because just the blanket women will? Absolutely not.
I have no comment to that one. Because that's probably came out of my mouth before, so I'm probably guilty of one of those people that may have said that. Potentially,
a confession
maybe.
On air. I can't believe it.
I said maybe once. In the past, maybe. I've grown and I continue to grow, so don't judge me. But on that note, I think that this has been an interesting topic, you guys, as we talk about how daddy issues impact women. I think one of the things that we can all agree on the panel, and you can tell me if I'm correct, that early childhood relationships with fathers definitely have the ability and in many cases do impact women in their adult lives, whether it's in their dating, again, their platonic relationships with men and their level of self-worth. It just has an impact. And as a result, we think that it is important for women to be aware and more conscious of how these things impact them so that they can, for the most part, break these cycles that prevent them from having healthy relationships. With that being said, Steve, as always, thank you for co-hosting. And Fatima, thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. I know you will be back on our future talk shows as we continue to discuss daddy issues part two next week and how they impact men. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Everyone, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it. Tell everyone about Dr. Guy's Sunday Gumbo Talk. Everyone, have a blessed week. Bye-bye.